Yeah, I was telling the spear breakers about that because 25 years, a seed in my heart that God placed, but was dormant there about going to Middle East, having a heart for people who desperately need to hear the gospel. A religion that brings oppression, amen? Islam brings oppression. But Jesus loves those folks. He loves those people, amen? And he's doing a great work amongst them. And so I can't help, so as I've got this connection, it's like my seed coming up and saying, man, I'm going to take a trip there. I know I am. And so I don't know if it'll be a year, 2 years, but I'm going to prepare now to take that. And it's funny how he leads with desire, something that he placed within me 30 years ago. But, you know, life goes on and things happen, married kids, and forgot about it and said, well, you know, that was then, but it's too late. That's what I told myself. And then God, he's so faithful, bringing that desire up again. He leads us with desire. You know, there's desires that God has put in people that could have been decades ago or years ago. Just know this, even in maybe had some struggles and mistakes, when you focus on him, those things he planted are going to start to take root. They're going to start to grow. And it just needs just God, the Holy Spirit, his encouragement, right, to bring those about. God loves dreams being accomplished in people's lives. And sometimes it's even the greatest satisfaction are those dreams or things that have been put in the back burner. The burner was turned off. It got cold. It got a crust over it even. And then God turning that burner on again, right? And stirring that and bringing it to life. Amen. You know, time goes by quickly. If you're getting to your prime like I am in your 50s, right? You realize, like, what happened to the decades, right? And so if you're young, realize it goes by quick. If you're older, realize God, it's not too late for God to bring dreams back and for him to accomplish those by his Spirit. Amen? Do you love him this morning? John, I'm going to throw a big monkey wrench in this because I'm going to start down. I'm going to start actually at second, in just a second. Don't display it quite yet. It was my seventh point out of 8 points, but I felt like God wanted me to change it up this morning. 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 3. 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 3. Before John puts that, you know, as I declare the word and as his grace is working in our lives, I just want to mention that the word also brings correction. Did you know that? And I just want to encourage you, if his word brings correction, don't allow yourself to be in condemnation. I said, don't allow yourself to be in condemnation. Because who the Lord loves, he disciplines. And his word brings discipline. It's said right here in 2 Timothy. Go ahead, John, if you don't mind, 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 3. Amen. It says, I solemnly exhort you. He's talking to who? He's talking to Timothy as a pastor. He says, I solemnly exhort you in the presence of God and of the Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. And you know, we're in a time where you can see a lot of that, not just in the church, but in the world in general. Don't correct me. Don't tell me what to do. Amen? I'll do what I want. But you know, as believers with a new heart, with his Spirit, we should love to have his word correcting us. Anything that I say, believe me, I'm coming with the love of God. Anything that you think is correction or rebuke, whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. Amen? Hebrews 12:11 says this, for the moment, all discipline seems not to be pleasant, but painful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, amen, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Or you could say it yields the peaceful fruit of maturity. An individual who's not willing to listen to correction or godly, loving rebuke, not me, but God speaking to you through me, you cannot mature. Just think of this with a child. Does a child have to be disciplined? And if it's done, it's done in love. If you have a child that's never disciplined, they grow up, but they never grow up, amen? They're what we call them, spoiled brats. Their life is out of control. God doesn't want our lives out of control. And sometimes, as we've talked about words and the power of words and the effect on their lives, but the last thing I want it to become is some kind of religious thing. Oh, just got to watch my words. Turn it into where we become confession cops. But yet that God would reveal the power of words. We live in a society that words mean nothing. I can lie to you. I'll tell you something. I'll call you later. I won't do it. I mean, words mean nothing. But in the kingdom of God, as we read today, they mean everything. So as the Lord speaks to you, if he's correcting you, saying, Lord, I'm your son or daughter, thank you for correcting me. Thank you for loving me enough to mature me. Correction to mature me. Amen? So don't have ears to hear. Let's not be people in this time that, I only listen to those who agree with me. There's nobody going to correct me. No one's going to tell me anything. Thank God with the people of God, we're not that way. It's not easy. Amen? My wife was talking to me. Sometimes I tell them myself, but it's an example. Sometime back, we get in the car. She says, I can't believe you said that. But what did I say? I just started using my words to defend myself. Got my sword out, right? You resemble... But as you mature in the Lord, and I thought about it all night, what she said. And then when I talked to her in the morning, I said, as I was just examining my own heart, I said, you're right. And when we put the walls down, see, walls go up, what can penetrate our heart? I think sometimes because of things that have happened in our life or the upbringing or past churches, without realizing we put these walls up. And this word of God just hits that wall. Because when you let those walls down, you're vulnerable. So saying to my wife, you're right. You're right. The heart feels vulnerable. And if you've got a past where churches or people or upbringing, your heart's been damaged, it's just the walls. But I'm here to tell you that his love and discipline is because he loves you. You can let the walls down. You can let the word have its effect. Allow the word. Sometimes when he's speaking to you, words doesn't feel good at the time, but it's going to produce fruit. There's a purpose in it. We got to be careful. Yes, we want to be encouraged in here, but the word of God says to encourage your... In 2 Timothy, it says it's for exhortation or encouragement, but it's also for correction and rebuke. But it's all in love. It's all for growing us up in him. Amen? Mature. As we were praying this morning, a prophetic word that said that God is cleansing and is cleansing his body right now. Amen? And he's maturing his body. Because to have people come in and need Jesus... give their lives to Jesus, you got to have mature believers, amen, that can disciple them, that can love them, that are willing to take out of their time and love other people. It's easy just to get in our own world, right? Our jobs, our success, and nothing wrong with those things. God loves loving his people. But as we mature in him, we start saying, hey, God, what do you have for me regarding the kingdom? So as God matures us, he can bring people in that can be, we can minister the love of God. Amen? Do you love him this morning? Hallelujah! Just making sure you're awake. Amen. So we're going to go to James chapter 3. We've been talking about the power of words, and and soil, your ground being soil where the Word of God or other things can be planted. So God took me here to where James is saying the same thing, but he's using a different analogy. I love how James 3, 2 and 12, verse 2 starts out, "For we all stumble in many ways." He's putting himself in the same boat. The great leader, the great half-brother of Jesus, the leader of the Jerusalem church, James says, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to rein in the whole body as well. Did you hear that? Tie in reining our body, leading our body through our tongue, through our words. Amen? That's what he's saying right there. See, James says that a person's mouth can actually control or direct a person's whole body. The mouth, our words, can actually direct the course of one's life. How do I know? Because he says he's going to give two examples right here. You still with me? Amen. Don't you love the Word of God? Sorry. Mansus, it's good to see you this morning. Good to be seen. God bless you guys. Amen. The power of prayer. Well, you're not going anywhere. I'm sorry. You're stuck here for a long time. Good to see you. So verse 3, he says, I'm going to give you a couple examples here. This is what James is saying. He says, now, if we put the bits into the horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their whole body as well. Amen? And then he goes further and gives another example. Look at the ships too. Look at the ships too. He says, though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are nevertheless directed by a very small rudder, and wherever the inclination of the pilot determines. Wow. It says, so he gives those examples. He says, so also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Amen? The tongue can boast of a lot of great things. That's why I love that scripture. It says, let not the strong man boast of his strength. Not let the rich man boast of his riches. Amen? It says, let him who's going to boast that he knows me. Don't you love boasting in the Lord and what he's done in your life? Amen. So a small part, it boasts great things. It says, see how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. By such a small fire. Verse 6, and the tongue is a fire. The very world of unrighteousness. The very world of unrighteousness, it says. The tongue is set among our body's parts as that which defiles the whole body. And sets on fire the course, listen, sets on fire the course of our life. And it is set on fire by hell. Don't lose me. Don't let me lose you right now. We're going somewhere with this. But what it is, he's saying, look, the things that we say direct our lives. It sets the course of our life. Matter of fact, that spark that can cause a fire from our mouth, I want to tell you, it can also start a spark in the Holy Ghost that can set your life on fire. See, your tongue can start putting a tamper what's going on in your heart by God, by the words coming out of your mouth, or it can start fanning the flame of God that's in your life. You know, the thing, I do crazy things. That if I'm struggling, I'll say out loud, me and my wife will be talking, and I'll say, I am on fire for God. I'm not speaking those things like I see them. I'm speaking those things that will be. I am on fire for God. But I don't allow things come into my mind to say, gosh, Chad, you sure are dead. No, I'm not. I am on fire for the Lord. I'm not allowing my feelings to start dictating nonsense to come out of my mouth. I'll pray for God's power and healing, then turn around 10 minutes later and saying, I wish he'd heal me. What's going on? He's not healing me. We'll pray and turn around with our tongues and like nullify that. Nullify that. It sets on course somebody's life, the tongue. Amen. But there's always a flip side to that though, isn't there? Verse 7, for every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. In verse 8, but no one among mankind can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Now he's saying nobody can tame that tongue. We'll keep going, amen. We'll come back to that. He says, he starts out saying we can stumble many ways, and he says nobody can tame the tongue. Sounds pretty hopeless, amen. Verse 9, but with it we bless our Lord and Father, keep with me, and with it we curse people who have been made in the likeness of God. It's easy in today's world, what's going on, to curse people who are made in the image of God. I've said it before, standing up for truth, standing up for this country, standing up for godliness. But I got to watch my mouth because I just start cursing people. You ever done that? James said here, that shouldn't be. Sometimes we'll hear that word and say, Lord, correct me. Maybe say it right now. Say, Lord, correct me. Well, his spirit lives in you. Man, he can show you those things. We don't have to walk in confusion. His spirit through his word will reveal in our lives things that he's correcting. Thank God he's correcting. Thank God he's maturing us. Thank God that he loves us so much. He says, man, some of you, I got to get out of diapers. Some of you, I got to get out of training pants. Some of you, it's in different areas of our life. And hearing the word and allowing us to correct us, he does that. Amen? And it's all through grace. Without walking in God's grace and strength, there is no correction. See, Moses brought the law, but Jesus brought grace and truth. But you got to be able to hear and listen to the truth to walk in it. There's much more than just the grace part. It's saying, Lord, reveal your truth to me. Amen? With a humble, hungry heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 10, from the same mouth both come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, he's talking to saints. He's not talking to unbelievers. He's not giving a sermon about, hey, you need Jesus. I invite you to come find Jesus. No, he's talking to saints. He's talking to believers. Amen? My brothers and sisters, these things should not be this way. Amen. Does a spring send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? He's asking. Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, there it again, brothers and sisters, bear olives or vine bear figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. It comes back to that thing that a lot of times what we plant or we believe is what's coming out. And he didn't say you're not believers. He calls them brothers and sisters. But he's correcting them. He did a lot of correcting in these, when you read throughout this letter to this 12 tribes scattered abroad, he said. Bring in a correction, but you got to hear it with God's love. Sometimes you can read these things and say, man, he's being harsh. But listen to his imploring, brothers and sisters, it should not be this way. Hear the tenderness of the Lord's voice. See, his correction is with love and tenderness. It's not punishment. You want to read about punishment, read about the Israelites, the 40 years that they spent in the wilderness. Man, if we were under the same covenant, I would have been gone a long time ago. Probably the first time he started punishing people, I'd have been in that group. But through walking with the Lord, saying, man, God, this new covenant I live in, this grace and mercy, your patience and kindness. Lord, you're correcting me. You're not punishing me. Amen. I'm your son, because your word says that if he loves you, if you're his child, he corrects you. I just keep laying that out so you can allow the word of God to do what it needs to do in maturing us. Amen. Receive it with the right heart. What does somebody who's in immaturity, like a child, they'll throw a tantrum. You know, you go to correct somebody and they're just, they don't like it, right? A child. You have to train them and say, hey, I'm doing this for your own good. When I'm correcting you, change your attitude, buddy. for the good. Amen. We want to have that same attitude that when his word does those correcting, say, Lord, man, I'm maturing. I'm not going to throw a fit this time. Isn't he loving and kind? You ever seen when a child's getting corrected and it's not easy? Amen. That's just immaturity. As they grow, hopefully, as there's a tenderness, like between a father and a son and a proper relationship, they can receive correction or they can receive advice. Amen. Because they know that it's coming from love. It's coming from somebody they can trust. It's coming from somebody they respect. And that's what the Lord is doing in our lives. Amen and amen. I want to mention a few things. First, it says, and I mentioned before, we all stumble in many ways. Things I'd mentioned because of my wife saying, why did you say that? And I thought later, I don't know. And as I've been teaching on this, it's funny how I'm like, really? These things you're saying? As I'm teaching on it, it's like I'm hyper aware of the things that I say that are not a benefit, that don't bring life. And so the Lord's showing me that. And I said, Lord, show me, but this does not feel good. Can we just go back to where I didn't notice what I was saying and be a buffoon? Or if you're married, you've got the Holy Spirit and you got your wife. I can't tell the difference. And sometimes I can treat it the same way. I'm not listening. You know, I wonder how many times or how much the Lord speaks to us and we don't discern it. How he wants us to discern his voice. But it comes being rooted and grounded in his word. That's how we can trust his voice and learn his voice. See, the gifts of the Spirit are powerful, but they're not the foundation, amen? They're the weapons of our warfare, with the foundation being the word of God. What did Jesus say? If you abide in me and I abide in you, ask what you will. His word abiding in us, amen? Thank you, Lord. So we all stumble in many ways. You know that scripture in Proverbs 24:16? For a righteous person falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in time of disaster. They don't have anything, no compass in their life. They'll get discouraged. They won't get up. Aren't you glad that when we stumble, he's there still? We can get up, keep going. We all stumble. Do not allow yourself to be condemned. That's not the Lord. That's the enemy. Who's the accuser of the brethren? Satan. With God, he's no, get up. Come on, I'm here with you. Yeah, I'm showing some things in your life, but that's okay. I love you. And you can have confidence in that. Once again, I was mentioning when we say sorry or we admit we're wrong, those walls come down. And we can do that with the Lord. We can trust him. Amen. Amen and amen. Number one, we all stumble many ways. Number two, our tongue directs the course of one's life. Because he says in verse 10, from the same mouth come both blessing and cursing, my brothers and sisters. Those things should not be. Where he talks about up in verse 6 about this fire, and the fire, it's the course, it directs the course of our whole life. Amen. So understanding that. Understand when he starts showing these things, I got to say it over and over again, do not allow yourself to be condemned, saying, Lord, thank you for showing me. Thank you for enlightening me that I can start using my tongue as a weapon of warfare and not a weapon for cursing. Because we don't realize that sometimes we'll say the things we're saying, we're thinking, well, I just has got to be said. I just got to be the truth. But it's not in the proper heart of love. And it comes out as a cursing. It doesn't bring life to anybody. It actually tamps them down. It discourages them. The Lord always gives words of encouragement to his children. Amen. Number three, our tongue was directed by the course of one's life breathe. It directs our life. Number four, can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, bear olives or vine bear figs? That's talking about what's planted in one's heart. Meaning that what's planted in your heart, that's what's going to come out. So if you got a fig tree planted in your backyard, what kind of fruit are you going to get? Yeah. And sometimes when things that are cursing come out of my life, I examine and say, Lord, what's there that needs to be pulled out of my heart? Thank you, Lord, for pulling that tear out. Thank you for showing me that, because I don't want that to be a part of my life anymore. I want to mature past that. Amen? Lord, I don't want to take offense at the Word of God. Those who have itching ears, they take offense. Only tell me things that agree with the hardness of my heart. The Word of God, when it corrects us, it softens our heart if we'll yield to it. Amen? It'll plant good seed of the Word of God in our hearts and bring forth a beautiful harvest. Amen. That's exciting. That's wonderful news. Amen? Number five, it says, but no one among mankind can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Meaning that in ourselves, in your flesh, in your own strength, you can't tame the tongue. It's yielding to the Lord. It's not something that happens right away. When the Lord started showing me about 8 years ago about this thing with my words, in 8 years, I'd hate to count how many times I could pull that back. What did I say? Pull it back. No, it had to be a mature process. But as he showed me, as his word was coming alive into me, I was aware of it. And I began to grow into it. Saints, our speech, the things we say, it's not like you leave here and say, man, I got that. No, there's a process of growing in him. But that process can't start until you're aware of it, until the Lord shows you, amen? And then when he shows you, you start planting. Sometimes things come back out and you have a humble heart and say, Lord, I blew it. That's okay. It's a process of growth. It's called maturity. How long does it take a 5-year-old to become a 15-year-old? 10 years. Right? That's good math. It can take some time and years to grow into these things of maturity. There's no microwave version. There's no McDonald's version. Right? But God's timing, his things, perfect timing, perfect. We're not getting any, in your walk with him, you're not getting anywhere late. He's leading you. He's guiding you. You're going to arrive in each benchmark of your life as God's leading and guiding you. You're going to arrive exactly when he wants you to arrive. Some of us don't like that, do we? We don't like that patience part, do you? Have you ever just been waiting for your food and you're like, what's taking so long? Right? Patience. Especially now. And we won't even start there. But see, when it says, but no one among mankind can tame the tongue, it is a restless evil full of deadly poison. But understand this on number six. Only God can do that work within us. This can't be a self-work. This can't be, like I said, my own works. What it is, it's taking responsibility and saying, Lord, you show me. Lord, you help me. Amen. John 15, 3 and 4. Jesus said, you are already clean because of the word which I had spoken to you. You have the Holy Spirit in you. Amen. It says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So this thing that we're talking about with our speech and talking and declaration is abiding in him and abiding in his word. Amen? Abiding in his word. Declaring his word. Declaring the opposite of what we think of ourselves. That which is the word of God abiding in us and us declaring that, that's how we do this. You see, the world will say, hey, positive confession, but there's no power unto salvation there. There's no power unto changing anybody's heart or life and just positive confession without the Word of God. If you've been in business or certain jobs, it's all about, hey, the power of positive confession, and I understand that, but that will not be planted in your heart unless you're born again. When you're born again, the positive confession is the word of God, or the word of God declaring what I am in Him. Amen? You can go to a lot of conferences or whatever that talk about positive confession. But you know what? If you're not born again, none of that matters. It doesn't. In this life, it might do some things, but I'm not saying about just positive confession. I'm talking about, Jesus says, my words are spirit and life. They are powerful. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the dividing of asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen? That's the power of the word through a born-again believer. I never understood that because of the way I was raised. It was so difficult because they said that was just positive confession nonsense. I wasn't taught about the power that the word of God, Jesus saying, my words are life, they're spirit. I wasn't taught that. So I didn't understand that. And so I just put that aside and didn't allow those things to be planted in my heart. Didn't allow the word of God to contradict what the enemy was trying to tell me. Amen. Jesus was in the wilderness. How did he battle the enemy? With truth of the word of God. Right? See, our weapon, our biggest weapon is our words. It defeats Satan. Jesus gave the example. Amen. He could have said, I am God, get out of here. But what he did is he is the word. He showed us by example, this is how you do it. The enemy tells you a lie or tries to get you off track, declare the word to him. He'll flee. Resist the devil. How do we resist the devil? Through declaration and standing upon his word. Amen. Amen. Corinthians 6, verse 11, such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of Jesus Christ in the Spirit of our God. That thing being sanctified, set free. Your new man, your new spirit, the new spirit man. Don't allow yourself to say, well, this is just foolishness. No, learn to battle with your tongue. To learn to declare his word. See, you're born again. You have what you need in there. You just need to start declaring it. Amen? Start declaring, it's our weapon. You're washed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? Amen. Amen and amen. Philippians, we're going through some scripture, 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Be willing to be patient. He's working in you still. Right? He's still the one working in you. Right? He's maturing you if you allow him to. He's always, I think I would love to have a shirt that says, if I can remember the phrase, sorry about the mess, under construction, date of completion, Jesus return. Amen? We're always, it seems like God, doing, working in the garden of our heart, pulling things, planting things. It's going to be that way till you and I draw our last breath or Jesus Christ returns. Hallelujah. Amen. So be during the process where God is working, he's correcting with his word, enjoy it. Enjoy the process, knowing that he's accepted you, you're born again, and when he corrects you with the word and it doesn't feel good, say, thank you, Lord, that I am your son or daughter. Amen? Amen. Amen and amen. Then I went back to 7. I'm going to read again. 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 3. I solemnly exhort you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready, in season, out of season, correct, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instructions, for the time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, They will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. Aren't you glad you're not one of those people? Aren't you glad you're not one of those? You're not one of those, are you? You're saying, Lord, and this is how you know, saying, Lord, I am allowing your word, I know I keep saying it, to correct me. I'm allowing to yield myself that this Pastor Chad speaks, Lord, that it's your heart through him, the word of God, that's delivering these. When we talk about the tongue and correcting, saying, God, thank you for showing me things. Thank you for maturing me. Thank you that when I'm corrected, those things in my heart that just buck up against it, thank you for changing those things. And he's faithful and just to do that. Did you know he's faithful and just to do that? You can count on it. He who begun a good work in you is faithful to complete it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto him. Amen? You know, Jesus only talked in parables when he was on this earth. And it was because of the condition of their heart. He says, a heart's a heart. They're not going to hear me. So I'm just speaking in parables, and then he would explain it to his own disciples. He says, hey, it's been chosen to reveal these things to you. But with us being born again and this mystery of Christ being revealed, man, he's not talking to you and I in parables now. It's not hard to understand. It's all revealed in Christ, layer upon layer of Christ Jesus revealing himself to you, amen, showing his faithfulness, strengthening you, providing for you in spite of our struggles, amen. He's just looking for that yard, that heart that says, I'm yielded to you, Lord. Lord, I bring down the walls. Right? Lord, I don't want to have any walls that are up that I'm not even aware of. They've been there so long. Lord, I don't want to have one that's itching ears. Just tell me good and pleasant things. Don't dare try to correct me because I can just go to a church down the street. We've got too much of that going on. Lord, I'm planted here. If this is your church, I'm planted here, Lord. I'm going to allow you to mature me. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. Amen. James 1, 4, and 5. Number 8 says, be patient in the process, sowing and reaping. James 1, 4, and 5 says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, mature, amen? Lacking nothing. Did you hear that? Maturity in Christ brings us to a point of lacking nothing. Because we hear his voice. Our hearts are open. The word of God's having an effect. We're not needing a miracle. We're not going from crisis to crisis needing a miracle, amen? Nothing wrong with miracles. But sometimes they're in a crisis. And I'm saying, Lord, let me be mature in you so I don't go from crisis to crisis, right? Lord, I don't want to go from crisis to crisis needing a miracle. Lord, I want to know that I'm mature in you, that I am lacking nothing. Amen? Amen. 5, it says, any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to you. Did you hear that? It'll be given to you. Lord, in our speech, in our declaration, just say, Lord, give me wisdom there, right? What's that little phrase says? Hey, we're thinking a certain person's not very smart, and then when they open their mouth, it leaves no doubt. But mature speech seasoned with grace, amen? Seasoned with grace, thank you, Father. That comes with maturity, right? So it says, do not grow weary while doing good, Galatians 6, 9. For in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. When the Lord is correcting us, don't lose heart. Embrace it. Because the thing is, he's not punishing you. He's correcting you. So much sometimes doctor will teach that, no, he's going to punish you. And that brings fear. No, we run to him. It says that we can go to his throne room with boldness. in our time of need. Amen. And so asking him, saying, Lord, if anyone lacks wisdom, a lot of times you can tell godly wisdom somebody by what they say. Amen. By their speech. You can tell somebody's maturity by what they say. As the worship team comes, amen. Do you love them today? This is a group, if we can stand up. Lord, this is everybody that hears my voice. Lord, that we wouldn't become weary. Father God, maybe some of you have maybe in your heart become weary. Know this, that it says when you're planning, be weary not, the harvest is coming. The things that we're wanting to change in our own lives and maturity is coming. If you don't allow the enemy's speech, remember last week I mentioned how Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden in the cool of the day. They knew the power of God having made the heavens and the earth. And they gave all that up just by a voice of the serpent. Don't tell me words aren't powerful, right? They gave that up by simply listening to the voice of the enemy. And it's no different today. Adam failed, the first Adam. The second Adam, the serpent tried to pull the same thing. But how did Jesus respond? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The second Adam didn't fall for that trick. Amen? And that example to us saying, Lord, I'm not going to fall for the tricks of the enemy, his voice. Lord, I'm going to reject that, and I'm going to give him, because he who abides in me, the living word, I'm going to declare to the enemy, you have no right here. You have no right in my home. You have no right in my job. You have no right in my business. You have no right in my relationships. You have no right in telling me that I'm not going to accomplish the things that God has put in my heart. You say, no, I rebuke you, go, Satan. And you start declaring that he will give you the desires of my heart. Hallelujah! You know, the enemy's got to be careful. Because when you're in a battle, somebody's going to lose some ground. And Satan has to take his chances, because if he's going to engage you in battle and you're victorious, he's losing ground. He loses ground. We're a new creation. We're God's ground. So when God's speaking to you, even this week, do not give an inch. Doesn't matter how you feel. Doesn't matter what happened yesterday. Doesn't matter your struggles. No matter what you're saying, man, I feel like today I'm barely saved. No, you're born again. You're righteous. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But you know, it's time for us to take some ground. Standing up and out of my mouth, cursing the work of the enemy and blessing the work of God. If there's anything you can curse, it's the enemy. Cursing those roots that get in our lives that keep coming up, saying, like Jesus, he cursed the fig tree. And if there's fruit that you feel like it's in your life, certain struggles or things that keep coming out of your mouth, just say, I curse that thing that's planted in my heart, and I command it to dry up at the roots. I tell that mountain right now to be plucked up and thrown into the sea. What did Jesus say to do that? Did he say, you know, get worked up, strengthen yourself up? No, he said, speak to that mountain. That doesn't make sense to me. Does that make sense to you in the natural? But in the spiritual realm, it makes 100% sense. Father, we thank you for the power of words. As James said, nobody can tame the tongue. Whew, all I got to yield to you and say, Lord, I belong to you. Father, show me, help me. You can't do it on your own in your relationships, in your job, or even in your time of struggle. Saying, Lord, show me, give me wisdom. Show me how to battle. And Lord, I'm going to start declaring, I am taking ground from the enemy. The areas that have... I'm not. It feels like I just can't get. Start declaring those. Those are mine. You know, when the enemy comes against us, we don't like it. It doesn't. But I've noticed that when I don't give up or give in, I get ground. I get new revelation of him. I get new purpose in him. It makes me confident, say, man, the things that God has for me, I am going to accomplish because I'm taking ground headed that way. It's like the children of Israel. They were in the desert those 40 years. But when they went into the promised land, did they secure that whole area geographically? At one time, no, they had to start taking ground. And that's just like us in the spiritual. The enemy, as we engage him, enemies that we cannot defeat in ourselves. The Israelites could not defeat the enemy in themselves. They were bigger. They were stronger. They'd been there for centuries. God calls them in there, and they start defeating the enemy. Because they finally learn by faith, Lord, we're not going to start declaring. What happened with the 12? Remember the 12 spies? It was their words that sent them back into the desert. It was their words. But finally, when they finally learn, but by us, by the Holy Spirit, as we go into our promised land, defeating the enemy, getting ground in our lives. A battle. Remember this, a battle is an opportunity for you to take ground from the enemy. Father, we thank you for ground. Father, we thank you for what you're giving us. Father, we thank you for what belongs to us in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, that even in that battle, Lord, the battle belongs to the Lord. You can't do it in your own strength. Declare the word of God. Declare the Holy Spirit that's in you and start saying, no, you're a defeated foe. The battle may seem hot and intense, but I'm telling you, the battle belongs to the Lord. He's a defeated foe. See, my place in heaven is already written, and Satan's place in the lake of fire is already determined. Between now and then, each victory. And here's the thing, not allow myself to be deceived by what the enemy tries to tell me. We're done with that, Lord. Your people are done with that. Lord, you're showing us the power. And once again, we thank you for ground. Lord, once again, I thank you that if those areas, Lord, we're open for correction. Because, Lord, we know that you have our best interest in mind, and it's bringing maturity. You can't use the Spirit, the sword of the Lord, when you don't have maturity. You don't know how to do it. But as you're maturing him, man, he shows you how to use that word. He shows you how to be victorious. Amen? Father, we thank you and we love you. Lord, we belong to you. Father, we thank you that the victory is already ours. Having done all to stand, amen? Having done all to stand. The Lord is there. It's a promise. You're going to be able to stand. You're not going to. It may feel like you're getting knocked over. Nope. This time, that trick, that same battle that comes along that you keep being defeated in, you're going to be victorious. Because you start saying, because the Spirit of God's in you, say, I don't want to be in diapers anymore. I don't want to be in size twosies anymore. Lord, I'm putting my big pants on. My big pants on, right? I'm not saying that there's not maturity here, but I'm saying there's always areas in our lives God wants to mature. He can't mature us in every area at once. Are you kidding me? That'd be overwhelming. It's battle by battle. Battle by battle. As you win those battles, you start realizing, I see your trickery, Satan. God's showing me that each victory I stand on you, I'm gaining that ground. Father, how we love you for that. We bless you. We honor you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to tell you that he loves you. He wants to set you free from the power of sin. And he wants to breathe his Spirit into you. He wants to make you brand new. He wants to give you a purpose that he's had for you since long before you were born. But you got to yield your heart, give your heart to Jesus Christ. If that's you, after this service, come up and talk to me. I'd love to leave you and lead you to the Lord. Lead you in a prayer of repentance, saying, Lord Jesus, I give you my heart. Lord Jesus, come in and live in me. And you know what? By faith, he will do that. If anybody else, if you had just prayer, need agreement with prayer, please come up front. We'd love to. If not, as we sing this song, you're dismissed. And Father, we thank you for blessing this week, that his face would shine upon you. Amen. Father God, that you're revealing yourself to us day by day. Thank you for providing us our needs according to your riches and glory. Hallelujah, Father God. Thank you for protecting us, Father God, from the wiles of the enemy. Father, thank you for exposing every trap of the enemy this week, Father God. Lord, those who have been trapped, thank you for bringing them out in Jesus' name, Father. We break that bondage in the name of Jesus Christ. He loves you. You belong to him. The victory is yours in Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah.